Ladies and gentlemen, please, on the stage, the host for Two Beers In, Cody Lindquist and Charlie Todd. But I'm working
to make it better. How is everybody doing tonight? How many people caucused in Iowa last night?
So many people from Iowa.
Thank you all so much for just hopping on a plane and getting here so fast for this show.
Wow, quick to that bit, the crowd.
How many people are from Iowa? Guys, guess what? I am. It's true. I'm from the Quad Cities.
Yeah.
I know.
Sorry. Wow. Someone said sorry.
Ooh, Iowa, there's more pigs than people.
Welcome to Two Beers In, the Tipsy Political Roundtable. We have some panelists that are going to come up here with us. They're going to chug two beers live on stage, and then we're going to talk about politics.
Yes. I'm Cody Lindquist. We should introduce ourselves because I have an ambiguous name. You could be Cody Lindquist, and I could be Charlie Todd.
That's right. Our names work with both genders, kind of.
Sort of. We're married to each other.
That's right.
Not just married to other people.
That's right. And we love politics, and we love beer, so we put this show together.
Yes.
At the beginning of the show, we like to kind of poll the audience a bit. So who here is feeling the burn? Big burn? Okay. All right. And who's ready for Hillary? Okay.
Usually it's more skewed. Who is for Ted Cruz? Cruising for Cruz. Oh.
Is there a Republican here? Yeah? Really? Wow. Wait. Okay, that's great.
That's great.
Our first show, we had zero Republicans.
Yeah, the
second show, we had one.
Like one sort of timid Republican who was like, me.
Yeah, and that sounded like maybe
it's
three.
Me.
So good for you guys. Everyone is welcome here.
Yes, we love all politicos. Everyone with an opinion. If you don't have an opinion, just leave.
Who's seen this show before? Who's been in a prior month? Awesome. Okay. No one wants to clap, but people do want to raise their hand. So thanks for coming back.
Yeah, in case the show sucks, they're like, oh God, I came back. Why?
So we have some bad news. Our main guest tonight, Hasan Minhaj, is sick. He is not here. Who is only here because he was on the bill?
Okay, a couple people. Well, hey, but guys, I have to say we do have a very, very celebrity guest here today. In the audience, we have the one and only Chuck Todd.
Chuck Todd is in the audience tonight.
And of course, I'm not talking about the one that hosts Meet the Press. I'm talking about Charlie's father,
My father is here, and that is his name. Yeah. And he's...
So, if you wanted a celebrity, you're getting one today.
And he is older than NBC's Chuck Todd. So
and more handsome.
And more handsome. Doesn't have a bizarre goatee.
No, he doesn't.
We are very sorry that Hasan is not here. Hopefully we will reschedule him, but he texted us this afternoon and said he was not going into work at the Daily Show and he's not coming here either.
So if anyone sees him on the Daily Show tonight.
Yeah, if he's on the Daily Show at 11
tonight.
Send us
an email.
We're going to be upset.
We're going to be right mad.
But we have a great panel. Is it time to meet our panel?
Oh, let's meet our panel, guys.
Let's meet our panel.
All right. Up first, we have the amazing writer from Late Night with Seth Meyers and former producer of Up with Chris Hayes. If you're a Politico, you love that show. It's great. Sal Gentile is here with us today. Yeah. Woo. Get ready to get drunk.
Up next, we have a very funny writer from AboveAverage.com and also a member of the UCB Theater. Give it up for Glenn Buzan.
Woo, woo, woo! Glenn. And finally, our all-star, the amazing and lovely Alex Cordellis, writer for Funny or Die and Difficult People.
And the upcoming Triumph series.
Oh, yeah.
Triumph Insult Comic Dog. Give it up for Alex Cordellis! Now... we have a guest bartender tonight who's going to bring out our beers and speak with you guys while we chug those beers. We were playing a video pre-show of the Trump Freedom Kids.
Freedom Kids. Did anyone see that video before today?
So the Trump Freedom Kids are from Pensacola, Florida. Their father wrote a song about Trump and made him dance at a Trump rally. One of those kids is our guest bartender tonight.
We decided, you know, if... screw the rules of being over 21 to bartend.
That's right.
Let's get one of the kids out here. They're cheaper. It's cheaper to get kids to bartend.
Ladies and gentlemen, put it together for one of the Trump Freedom Kids.
Woo! Oh.
Such an adorable outfit.
I love getting beer from a kid. Beer from a child.
All right, panel, let's start chugging.
So much.
Don't dally.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, we're going to get two more beers.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. This is what happens when you let children bartend. They can't count. She told us she could only count to eight. And we thought, oh, that's fine.
So
but
many.
Yeah, so many.
You can use the mic right there whenever okay, you're ready. You're going to do... You're doing a routine first. Okay. All right, let's chug, guys.
Start the chugging.
Cowardice. Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this.
This is beautiful.
When freedom brings, answer the call. On your feet, stand up tall. Freedom's on our shoulders. USA.
Enemies.
You know, it's great with the three girls in the video, but to see one girl do it is just really incredible.
Take them down. President Donald
Watching
Trump
this from behind rivals my worst sexual
nightmares.
To make
America great, deal from strength or get crushed every time.
All right, one down. Hurry up.
Stop the music. Stop the music. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I, like they said here on this show, they've been so nice to have me. I flew here by myself. I'm one of the Freedom Kids, which, if you don't know, they're like cheerleaders, except we don't cheer for football players. We cheer for old, white, conservative men. And my name is Sarah, and I'm 9, and I've been a Trump supporter since I was this many. And I don't know if you guys heard, but last night at the Iowa Couscous...
caucuses, I think.
I don't know. It's so confusing. Donald Trump lost to that religious weirdo Tom Cruise. And he almost lost to a 12-year-old boy named Marco Rubik's Cube. And you know, he's the only ever won. He's never lost anything in his life except for a little bit of his hair. And so I'm here on behalf of him dancing for a fucking loser. When we started the Freedom Kids, we wanted to rise to fame. We wanted to be stars. We wanted to meet rock legends like Kid Rock and that guy that sang The Devil Went Down to Georgia. We wanted to rub elbows with all the conservative hunks like Lindsey Graham and thin Mike Huckabee. And we wanted to follow our dreams of becoming the Spice Girls for shitheads. And then we met Donald J. Trump. He was speaking at our elementary school, and I just couldn't believe how many of his policies we agreed with. Like his policy to not allow any Muslim Pokemon into the country. And his plan to defund organizations like Planned Parent-Teacher Conferences. And of course, the one that we're in lockstep with is planning to build a wall around Dora the Explorer and make her pay for it. And I'll tell you what, this guy, I love him. I'm third in line to be his next bride when his wife dies, right behind his daughter Ivanka and any mail order Russian bride. So I'm lost. I'm up here shilling for a motherfucking loser. So I'm here to implore you, are there any other candidates, please tell me, that you think I could dance, that I could use this body and this hair for, and this outfit that I paid upwards of $40 for?
Bernie?
Yeah. I don't know about Bernie Sanders. He smells like wet newspapers. Plus, I think he's just a corpse that two of his friends found and have been walking him around like the feature film Weekend at Bernie's. Is there anybody else? Any other candidates? Please. Jeb Bush? Oh, I don't know about Jeb. Jeb Bush, I know. He's exclamation point. I know that. I know that punctuation, so that helps. But, I mean, come on. He's, as a man, my numbers are better than his, and I'm 9. So, anybody else?
Rand Paul,
I would like to dance for him, except he was the party clown at my 8th grade birthday. My 8th birthday. He's bad at speaking, but good at balloon animals. Anymore? Is there a... Arnold Schwarzenegger is gotta be dead. He's starring in cell phone commercials at this point. Chris Christie? I don't know. Is he the one that looks like King Hippo from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out? And I heard on good authority that he's a living fart. Like, Bobby Lewis in my class, he said that he's a living fart. A gypsy cursed a fart, and that fart got elected the governor of New Jersey. Anybody? Are you guys all done?
Yeah, we're done.
Jesus,
yeah.
You guys all have drinking problems. Thank you so much
You'll
for having me.
Give it up for
day.
Trump Thank you so Freedom much for King. Having me. Appreciate it. We'll see.
So we like later. To ask, when was the last time everybody chugged two beers? Or a beer?
Yeah, how's everyone feeling?
The last time you guys had me on Chug Tube, the
tube.
Everyone up here Uh-oh. Feels awful.
Yeah, that was a hard beer to chug. I have
it was looking around and everyone was wincing.
It got like a little sweet. I mean, I love 6 point.
Six point sweet action.
It's a hard beer to chug.
It's very yeasty. It's a yeasty beer.
Yeah, our spleens are
meagering. Expanding.
It's a yeasty beer.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're all a little tipsy. Sorry, there, it wasn't a pleasant experience getting there, but it was fast.
I think my chair's broken.
Is your chair broken?
Sorry, can I replace it?
Yeah.
Grab, there's one right there.
Also, Glenn was burping at an incredible ferocity the entire time. The intensity and speed of her burps was impressive.
So, Sal, I want to start with you. So having written for Up with Chris Hayes, an MSNBC program, and now writing for a comedy program, Late Night with Seth Meyers. Curious, like any, like what's the difference? Because you write a lot of political stuff for Seth's show, right? And then also, like, is it? I'm just curious, like with Late Night with Seth Meyers, do you have to be impartial? Like who's more biased? In quotes, I guess, you know, Chris Hayes or Seth Meyers. Like, do you feel like you have to be down the middle of the road? Being on a late night show?
Well, I think our allegiance on the late night show is only to comedy. So, and that is a useful thing to remember because, you know, obviously Seth has like political beliefs, but like.
What are they?
I don't know. He doesn't ask me. He doesn't tell me. I ask him.
You're like, who's he supporting?
And he throws coffee in my face and said, get the hell out of here. But it really is just to like whatever is the funniest stuff that happened because it makes my job easier. If Jeb Bush does something very sad, it's funny to write. It's better to write jokes about that. So, you know, it's really just an allegiance to what's funnier. Obviously, at something like Chris Hayes, at that show, it was really just facilitating. I don't know if anyone remembers that show, but like that was a weekend morning 2-hour roundtable discussion, and that was just sort of facilitating what would be the best points of conversation more than anything else. And even that, like obviously Chris Hayes has a very committed ideological position, but like that was mostly just like, what are the interesting ways to cross pressure people and make them have interesting opinions one way or the other, regardless of what their ideological commitments are. So even that wasn't necessarily guided by sort of like partisan beliefs, but was more about like producing the most interesting and revelatory
so you don't
conversation.
Think MSNBC is the liberal devil?
I don't think it's. I think it's the liberal Jesus Christ or whatever the good analog to the devil
you gave them
is.
A great poll quote.
Is there like? Do you guys get pressure from some affiliates down in Mississippi, like NBC affiliates in Mississippi, to like hit both sides? Or no, you don't.
Nobody would ever tell me that if it were the case. But I've never heard
Who
of that.
Who in Mississippi is watching MSNBC?
No. I'm talking about Seth Meyers. Just like you know, your Fallons, your Meyers, your like network shows like that do have to please affiliates. I would wonder if like you could ever go too far.
I've never heard of that being the case. I mean, but here's the interesting thing. I mean, like, there are people of all political stripes in Mississippi, too. So, but ultimately, I really do think people are, like, at least sort of sated by the fact that, like, the show is primarily trying to be funny more than anything else. So, it's a comedy show. So,
and Republicans are funny, as are Democrats. I mean, guys, Bernie Sanders' hair has gotten a lot of run in this election.
Bernie's very funny.
Did you ever try to pitch jokes to Chris Hayes? Like, hey, I got a real funny idea for a really...
All I ever did was write monologue jokes, and he was always like, why are you doing this?
He's like,
go find Seth Meyers, you asshole.
Yeah, he was like, I didn't write... Nothing I ever wrote on that show got on.
So, Glenn, you write for Above Average, and you did a really funny post where you photoshopped Donald Trump into looking like a hot guy.
Thank you.
So, you know, as a woman to woman... you know, if a woman's in politics, I feel like her appearance gets talked about a lot. So my question is, why are you a mess? My question is, why are you a mess? No. Do you think an ugly dude like Trump or Cruz could actually get elected? Because I'm sorry, I just put it out there.
Kicking cans all over.
They're ugly.
Are you, Glenn? Are you okay?
Yes.
You need a second.
Do you need a moment?
No, I'm fine. Very funny.
So the question is: can an ugly dude,
can
like
an ugly
Trump
dude get elected,
or Ted Cruz get elected president? I
think. Oh, for I'm sorry. Sure. If it's happened a million times. Attractive. I mean, Nixon was heinous looking.
Yeah, but
in preparing this question, we Google Bush image searched.
Like a weasel man.
We Google image searched Nixon today.
He's not that bad.
That ugly.
No.
I mean, listen. I'm not
what
saying he's
hot. What planet are you on?
When he was running.
I'm not like going out and being like, yeah, Nixon was a sexy man. But
oh my God.
Compared to some of the candidates out there, guys, it is just a veritable who's who of ugly on that stage. I mean, Rand Paul.
Well, that's what
looking.
His politics is like.
Wait, you think Rand Paul is good looking?
I mean, in the sphere of the world, politics. It's a real low bar. I will say it's a very low bar.
I think they are all of the candidates on the Republican side are good looking enough to be president, except Trump and Cruz.
And Chris Christie.
Particularly
Cruz. Cruz is like a melted weasel. He's so awful.
Wait, did somebody say Chris Christie used to be good looking?
What year?
Chris Christie's high school sweetheart is in the audience.
No, that's Chris Christie.
He was 150 pounds.
What was that, one of the three Republicans that are here? Who said...
Okay. Maybe used to be. No, I mean, this is a little like high school. What we're the way we're approaching this topic.
I don't care. High school. But
Ted Cruz is, there's something wrong with Ted Cruz's face.
For real.
Can he be? Can he actually win an election?
You know what he looks like? He looks like he stole someone else's skin and like put it like sewed it on wrong.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
Yeah,
like
he was like,
he
oh
Buffalo
shit,
Bill.
there were two noses and I fucked up. I sewed two noses onto this human skin that I made.
So you photoshopped Trump into
I did.
Being a hot dude.
I was a graphic designer for a while and I learned how to use Photoshop.
Yeah, no, it was very.
And now I
put
Google
skills to good use.
Google it and take a look at it. It's really but could you photoshop Trump into being a hot dude? I mean, Cruz, could you photoshop Cruz into being a hot dude?
I don't know if that's possible. Yeah.
You're like, I don't know how good I am as a graphic designer.
I'm sure you could. Well, the thing about the Cruz, I photoshopped him to look like, I photoshopped him
Trump.
Trump, yeah. I photoshopped Trump. I went into it thinking, okay, how would a graphic designer photoshop an older woman who was on the cover of a magazine? Like, I applied the same principles, like skin, wrinkle removal, like poor erasing, like lip plumping. So I applied kind of this. So he just looks like he's had a lot of work done.
But then you gave him a stubble goatee.
I did, because girls like that.
They do.
You're
women
speaking
like
for
stubble.
All girls here.
I am.
She is, guys. Yeah. Stubble is like in.
So Alex, the next question is for you. As a Muslim who is a Daily Show correspondent, we would like to know. Yes. No, okay. New question for you.
One of the rare Greek Muslims.
So Alex, I think it's really interesting. So Alex writes for Funny or Die, and he attended two debates this past fall, like with press credentials for Funny or Die.
Yeah,
it's always fascinating to me that debates even let like The Daily Show or Funny or Die or any comedians in the building.
I filled my application out as FOD News, and that somehow fooled them into thinking a real thing.
Did they think you work for the Food Network? Food News?
FOD News. Technically, that's what it is.
So can anybody just fill out an application and say whatever news and maybe get a press pass?
Yeah, if it sounds legit enough, and apparently FOD News sounds legit enough to...
It sounds like somebody from Fox News just misspelled the name of their network.
I'm sure that's exactly what happened. So and that allowed me to like touch Mike Huckabee. It was very, very strange.
So what was that like, touching Mike Huckabee?
Sweaty. He's a larger gentleman.
Like, what surprised you about being in the spin room? Were you in the room for the debate
as well?
I was
in the spin room. I was not in the actual debate room. Okay. I was in the press room, and then I was in the spin room. The spin room is like a mosh pit. It's the closest thing to Lollapalooza 1995, which I was at. It's insane. And
it's crowded. And
who else did you touch?
I think I touched every presidential candidate this year. I think I've touched all. I've gotten very close to all
Ted
of them.
Did Ted Cruz look creepy up close?
Like Glenn said, he's like an ex machina with the skin sewed on. And he's a very strange looking man. But yeah, we did a bit there where we made medals that said debate winner. And we like to go up to the candidates and say, oh, you won the debate. And give
what
them a medal.
Great trick for having them talk to you, right?
Like, yeah. And like,
no one ever's going to turn down a medal.
At the Democratic debate, which weirdly was at the Wynn Las Vegas. Strange to have their first debate at a casino with Sheryl Crow singing the national anthem. But we went up to Lincoln Chafee We went up to Lincoln Chafee and said, "Congratulations, you won." And it was sad because he was like, "Thank you. I wanted to win so bad." And I like my heart broke. And like it just backfired so hard. And we put it in the video.
I literally forgot that Lincoln Chafee was a human being until just now.
Clap if you remember Lincoln Chafee. It's such a
now we do. Five minutes ago.
Can I share a quick Lincoln Chafee fact?
Please,
that's my favorite Lincoln Chafee fact.
Please.
So when he was running, it was revealed that he had, you know, much like several other candidates, endured a scandal when he was the mayor of Providence. Am I remembering that correctly? But the scandal was that he had a secret slush fund to buy pet frogs for his office aquarium.
And that would have
that
gotten
was,
out.
Even his scandals were like the lamest.
How big was that fund? It must have been like $18.
It was like I think it was like $20. It was some money his grandma gave him or something.
I feel like, really sad that he's like saving coupons to like Pet World too in a like secret box.
But you know what? Good for Lincoln Chafee for getting out because he wasn't going to win. And like Martin O'Malley, like why was he still around? Like he's finally gone as of now, but you know. Yeah.
Speaking of, but well, maybe this is why, because he is obviously the most handsome
by far,
by far presidential
Michael
candidate.
O'Malley?
And the more he's in the race, the more people talk about how fucking hot that guy is.
He's the most handsome. Oh, right?
But you know what? This also, guys, the bar is so low. Let's say this again. If you
even in a, even in a high
street,
bar presidential
know,
election,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
handsome,
like,
right? If,
I guess yeah, the way sure. you
Until
think
opens
maybe
his
your
mouth.
High school teacher. Is
I know. Have you seen him? That picture of him though, when you Google his name, the first picture of him is him like. With a sleeveless shirt on,
yeah,
like ripping on a guitar, just like he looks insanely handsome. It's
but he's
mind-blowing.
So boring.
I know.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes boring is hot.
Well, right? I guess that's sort of as a counter argument to us saying that Ted Cruz can't get elected because he's ugly. Because I guess the hottest guy can't get elected either.
Yeah, the hot guy couldn't win. That sucks.
You gotta have looks and personality. Am I right, ladies?
Man.
Well, that's why JFK won that,
looks. Yeah. That's fine. Okay, so this actually is a question that has me fuming. Okay, so Ted Cruz last night in Iowa doubled down on his New York values comment.
Oh, yeah.
He said, as I travel the country here in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada, everyone knows what New York values are. It's the values of the elite liberals that have done enormous damage to the New York. And there are a bunch of cops and firemen and hardworking men and women in the great state of New York who are fed up with the out-of-touch values of Manhattan. So, I live in Hell's Kitchen. Go fuck yourself. But also,
if you
so here's the question.
The word New York with Jews, please Hitler.
Oh, totally.
Literally, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld. That's what he's talking about.
But he learned his lesson. He learned his lesson.
People in Iowa hate Jerry Seinfeld.
But here's the question. Is there a state that the Democrats could fucking just write off like that? I mean, it pisses me off because of the Electoral College. This state doesn't matter. My opinion, your opinion, none of us matter. You don't matter.
Election.
You live in California, Alex, don't matter. But you can just write a whole state of voters off.
Like, could Hillary Clinton in a stump speech talk about Mississippi values?
racist?
Because she's never going to win Mississippi, right.
Yeah.
You know. So maybe she should. Maybe she should throw under the bus.
Well, that would be like punching
the
down.
State that's like last in education and didn't accept Medicaid.
And also, New York taxpayer dollars, we don't get back what we pay. It all goes to Mississippi, and they're all pandering to Mississippi and Iowa, and we pay more taxes, and we're supporting them. And you shouldn't be able to just say that I'm a terrible person.
2 points to make in response to your statement, which is could Hillary do it, which is I think this is a good example of why Ted Cruz is probably among the worst general election candidates they have, because I do think there's a general election price to be paid for something like that as opposed to a primary. Like, it's probably advantageous for him in a primary. He knows Ted Cruz doesn't do anything unless it polls well in Iowa, so he's doing it because he knows it's an attack that polls well. But I do think there's possibly a general election price to be paid for rhetoric like that. Number two, if that dude, as we've established already, is like a one already, he's like a -5 in New York. I mean, that dude, like, that's one of the best things about his New York values comment is that, like, he would never survive a second in New York. He's such a goober. Like,
but he also fundraises in New York.
Imagine walking around Williamsburg, just like checking out the bars. He's like,
He's sitting at the
Ted Cruz going yeah.
One day, like I accidentally, already living in New York for 5 years, I wore the wrong shirt, made me look like I came for. I wore like a weird striped like shirt, like a button down striped shirt. Some dude came on a bike coming down. He said, I was walking across a bike lane. He said, "Hey, welcome New York, asshole." And I was like, "I live here." And if that was Ted Cruz, that dude would get fucking punched in the face in 5 seconds.
Can you imagine Ted Cruz walking into Catbird, the jewelry store in Williamsburg?
Like, I'm looking for
those of you
who
don't know, Catbird
wife.
Is a chic jewelry store in Williamsburg. And be like, oh, these are like
everything
rings
delicate,
are so cute.
Yeah,
these
and like he would just be like
getting brunch, like. Oh.
And then he'd make nightmare. A purchase and be like, "Here's your free matchbook," because they do that there now.
Oh, someone's buying.
But no, to
white
answer
jewelry.
Your question, I think that like I, in response to Ted Cruz's New York Values comment, I would want Hillary to make that. Criticism of Mississippi values because people are shoveling Chick-fil-A in their mouths, Bible thumping, and if she makes that comment, that's the start of Civil War II, and I'm ready to enlist. I'm ready.
You're ready.
Wait,
start
fighting.
You want to antagonize them.
We have at least two people from South Carolina here, my in-laws, so let's not.
Oh, okay.
Brother versus
and
brother.
And they're liberals. They're part of the team.
First is the seat, South Carolina.
So, all right, I have another question. I have a Trump question for the panel. Do you guys think he actually wants to be president? Do you think he is actually... I'm not sure he's even running for president. I think he's just taking the opportunity to have his speeches broadcast on television every single night.
Ted Cruz?
Did I say Ted Cruz? I mean
Donald Trump.
Oh,
Trump.
Sorry,
yeah,
sorry.
That's those two beers. no, but is Trump a real candidate? Because did he have a ground game? Did he actually have anybody that knocked on a door in Iowa?
Does he have a campaign headquarters anywhere?
My favorite Trump thing about the ground game is specifically, like, first of all, I do think that, well, two things. But I think his, like, despite the fact that he lost, I think his showing is incredibly impressive. Nonetheless, to my dismay, because he didn't do anything.
Yeah, a crazy internet troll.
In fact, if anything,
second.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Crazy, like YouTube comment chain that became sentient came second in the Iowa caucuses, received the second most votes in Republican Iowa caucus history. So that's fucking scary.
That's the best way I've ever heard him describe it.
But also, like, 60% of the people who went to vote in Iowa caucuses are evangelicals who care about the things that even, you know, like are the basic like cultural values that they have are important to them.
Anti-New York values
very important to them. But he, like the 2 days before the Iowa caucus, went to services there and they have the communion plate, which they bring the plate around. I don't know if you guys ever saw this or saw the video of this or heard it described, but they brought the communion plate around, which is like you take the sacrament of communion, and he took out some cash and tried to put money on the plate because he doesn't know what the fuck evangelical people do or want.
You're saying
but they voted for him.
You're saying it's a plate of little pieces of bread and
he took some money out like it was a collection plate. He tried to put money on it. Somebody was like, you don't put money there.
Just
he's like God, this one's on me, you know? Like, he's just, he came in second in Iowa.
He loves the Bible,
I love the Bible so much.
It's the second best book, except for Art of the Deal,
which
is the first best book. Before we move on, I think that, is everyone ready for another beer?
I mean, I'm not ready. I don't want it.
Yeah. Let's bring the Trump Freedom Kid back out here for another beer. Thank you.
Justin, I think maybe that chair might be
broken. Can
we
sip this one or are we checking this one, too?
No, you can sip this one.
This is actually Justin Tyler. He's not actually a Freedom Kid.
Give it up for Justin Tyler from the UCB Theater. Characters welcome.
But he's still wearing the skirt because that's commitment.
This is what I walked here in.
Join our panel with this skirt, which, by the way, has a price tag in the back of it that I can see that says $3.
He's returning it.
Yeah.
Not possible.
Okay, you know, a lot of people are, this is half a question, half a brag. Charlie and I are going to Puerto Rico next week. Are we going to die of the Zika virus? That's our question.
No.
Should we not go to Puerto Rico?
No, you're not a baby.
I'll tell you what.
Guys, I am so pregnant right now. I have one kid at home and he's
the twist
fine.
Ending to this comedy show is that Cody is pregnant and drinking.
Pregnant and on her third beer.
Talk to her about
it. We do have a son at home. We have a son at home. We have a baby.
My wife is pregnant.
Yeah.
And we've been planning
congrats.
Thank
That's
you.
So nice.
We were like, let's go on a trip before we have the baby. Honestly, like every day, we're losing ground.
There's nowhere warm that you can travel with a pregnant woman.
We're going to go to lower Canada. Right? Baby moon, yeah.
Is it better that she's pregnant now because it's not in the U.S. yet? Like, if she's pregnant next summer, it's going to be like in New York.
Well, one of her relatives is a doctor, and she's like, there aren't going to be babies for like 3 years. And it's like,
so it's like
because the Zika virus is moving north.
It's happening.
The virus is moving. It's going to be in. It's already in like Florida, the Keys, whatnot. The mosquitoes there have it. It's moving north, and only like it's fucked up. It's
should I go and get it now? I mean, should we all?
Well, it doesn't affect us. It doesn't affect us.
I'm saying, wouldn't it be kind of nice?
It doesn't affect white people.
If women,
it only affects like Hispanic people, anyone in the South. That's the whole thing.
Well, today they said that one guy is paralyzed in Brazil. And maybe it's because of Zika.
And I mean, also, somebody got it through semen.
Yeah.
Somebody got it through semen. It was sexually transmitted too.
Yeah, and it was. Yeah.
Anyway, guys, should we cancel this trip? Let's do a poll of the audience. Clap if you think Charlie and I should cancel our trip.
We're not pregnant or getting pregnant. Okay, just my dad. Who's the fear monger?
He's just worried about you. That's very nice. If he didn't clap, I'd be like, "Yo, where's Charlie's dad at this?"
There's a mosquito in the audience.
Yeah.
What sucks about this,
like,
especially?
You shouldn't go.
What's dangerous about this, though, is that basically this could be reported as Chuck Todd says don't go.
Perfect.
Because of Zika virus.
Yes, Chuck Todd says don't go.
So you're not going to go to the Caribbean?
We can't. It's a legit danger. Because she's
literally, my wife's like,
I mean, we could just go and I won't get bit. And I'm like, that's not how it works.
Every
mosquito isn't going to have a little like, hi, do you mind if I just a little blood for me?
Hey, you know, Charlie and I went to New Zealand when I was pregnant, and I don't think they're there. Oh, we have some people.
Are you from
New
Zealand?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Where? We went to Wellington. All right. It was very nice. We did not get any viruses that made our babies head small.
No, guys, New Zealand is a beautiful, magical place. You can't bungee jump when you're pregnant. Learn that. But it's really fun.
All right, yeah. I want to get back to presidential politics here. I don't know if everybody on the stage is feeling the burn or ready for Hillary.
Or trust Ted.
You never know.
Or trust in Ted.
We could be trust Ted.
I am mostly undecided. I'm sort of leaning Hillary these days, but I agree with Bernie. But I agree with Bernie about everything he says. But I think Hillary is probably the better candidate for the general election.
Interesting.
I wanted to talk about Hillary's emails because that came back up like the night before Iowa. All of a sudden, like, here's another news story about these emails.
Yeah.
So, are any Democrats actually worried that there's something there? That if Hillary gets the nomination, that a shoe is going to drop? Or is there nothing there?
I mean, just as an empirical matter, I mean, I think it's safe to say from reporting in surveys that basically no Democrats care. And if anything, it's been sort of like turned into just a partisan signifier now. Like, it doesn't mean the substance is meaningless. If you care about them, then you're anti-Hillary, and pro-Hillary people see it as like another conspiracy against her. So I think that's the only significance it has now, unless somebody proves that there was like a demonstrable harm that was
committed.
So
it's just as irrelevant as saying the word Benghazi. Like, it's
exactly.
I think it's
basically just politically speaking, in terms of how people feel politically about it, like Democratic primary voters, I think they probably view it the same way
so
as Benghazi.
You think it's as likely that they would find a smoking gun in this FBI investigation that the fifth Benghazi investigation?
Well, I don't know about I think the substance might be different. I don't know what they might ultimately find.
Does that
emails.
Worry you, though? You don't know. So should we be worried at all about Hillary being...
She had two email... Like, it's total... I feel like if you still have, like, an AOL email account, you're like, yeah, why the fuck does she have two emails?
I know. She's a grandmother, and people are like, she doesn't know how to use email. It's like, what grandmother do you know who's, like, so savvy at email?
Yeah.
None.
Somebody got really sad.
My grandma's
super savvy. Like,
yeah. Oh my god. She has to my grandma just died.
You just fucking offended someone's grandma.
Oh my god.
Because that's the worst part. For Hillary, I feel like every time she has to answer a question, she's like, I don't know. I have a lot of computers.
What do you want from me? She's never touched her own computer in her life, right? All her interns are doing it for her.
Well, exactly. That's why she's even less likely to be like, yeah, my bad. She's like, I don't know, a kid did it. Like, what do you think? Like, I'm handwriting my emails on a little pen pad and then sending it off?
Her emails are like asking aides how to use her electronic equipment. She didn't know.
Yeah, there's legitimately a lot of questions where she's like, I just set up this iPad. How do I connect it to Wi-Fi?
She's like, what is this bigger iPhone doing in my house? And like, how do I use it? What do I turn it on? Do I plug it in?
What I will say is interesting to consider, which is she's now, her campaign is, you know, whether you agree with this on the substance or not, her campaign's argument is basically saying, because they recently, a couple days before the Iowa caucus, has said that there were top secret emails. Emails that were not at the time classified top secret, but now are categorized as top secret on her server. And her campaign is saying this is classification run amok. Well, that, I will say, is a double standard, because there were plenty of times that the Obama administration and under the auspices of the State Department prosecuted people for leaking documents that the government considers top secret, that many of us in the many observers think should not be top secret, shouldn't be a prosecutable offense for leaking that information to the public. So there is an interesting double standard, whether you think the email controversy is completely bullshit or not.
I also feel like most people, they're like, oh, yeah, Emailgate. They don't fucking know what they're talking about.
Well, and even
like,
beyond
what?
That.
Yeah. Her emails were bad. But I don't know.
The fact that she is raked over the coals about something so hyper-specific, and someone like Donald Trump has said, 1,000 people cheered at 9/11. And no one's like, what? And everyone's like, oh, fine, whatever
Donald
you say.
Can't find that clip, but it's out
Donald
there.
Trump sent investigators to Hawaii, and they found amazing things about Obama's birth certificate. Right. And that should disqualify him from ever saying anything ever again.
And Hillary has to answer for like a couple emails.
But
right?
Here's
such a nightmare.
I wonder, do you think it's, I mean, partially, but also, what do you think? Do you think Hillary has a disadvantage running as a woman?
Ooh, sort of snuck
white
up on that
on
question.
Panel?
You really snuck up on that question.
I think
wow.
You like,
I mean, the thing with the in the politics.
White guys on the panel.
What about these women?
Can y'all well, okay, I will to say... us why it's a hard time for her to run? Mansplain that to me, because I don't get it.
I mean, you.
I just want to say I agree with whatever
and
Cody and
like
say about this.
Yes, the answer is yes. So continue with your response, but the answer is yes.
I'm solidly for Hillary, and I think it's interesting that she won Iowa, and nobody's mentioning that she was the first woman to ever win that caucus.
Yes.
And I think,
oh wow.
Yes.
I hadn't
she
even
was.
Thought about that.
And
until
Clinton
you said
didn't win either. And Bill Clinton did not win either. She's the first Clinton and the first woman.
Well, it might be more
first
impressive
Clinton
that she's
the
first the woman.
Woman.
No, but I'm saying it's not.
That was pretty cool.
It's also not a place that had like a history of they loved Clinton and they, you know.
George Clinton never won the Iowa caucuses.
No, that is historic. Yeah, that's a good point.
I just want to talk about that.
I guess that'll be true for every primary she wins, right? I mean, as a woman's never won.
She won.
Well, she won a bunch of them in 2008.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I forgot about those. So here's what I... Well, I'm sorry. Are we done with this, or do we have more to say?
Are we done with this woman question?
Are we done with this
female
question?
Yikes.
No, we're not done with this because there's no
Are we done with this
woman
feminist
in the White House
snooze
yet?
Fest, please?
I do think, yes, it is hard for... And especially when I feel like so many women voters don't like her.
I know, and it makes me mad.
But I do think... She's the. What's harming her campaign more is the fact that she's Hillary Clinton, not a woman.
Right. Well, yeah. I will say that my opinion, and I also am, I would say undecided. I like Hillary. I like Bernie.
Oh, come on.
I'm trusted. Just kidding,
trust
guys.
Trust Ted.
Yeah.
Trust Ted. I know, but I'm saying trusted.
Okay.
Yeah, cool.
But I do think that part of it is Hillary Clinton was the bitchy, like, aggressive first lady who didn't just read books. She like actually had a policy. Like he gave her a real job and was like, "Oh, this first lady is gonna solve healthcare." And they're like, "That sounds like she should just be reading books to children." And so, which nothing wrong with reading books to children.
So many children have become illiterate
in
those years.
But I do feel like she has this history of being ahead of her time. And that's part of the reason that she's a bitch. And yes.
Yeah, no, I think it's undeniable that her sort of like perceived meddling in policy, which she shouldn't have done, irked some people, and that's deeply unfair to her. And that is the source of a lot of bias against her. I think that's totally true and fair.
Not that she doesn't have her problems as a candidate and individually as a candidate.
But she doesn't have any more problems with her than any other Democratic candidate has had, right? Like, I think people are just, like, taking everything she does and, again, like analyzing it to such a degree.
Well, the frustrating thing with her is that she's become such a—because she's been in the public eye for so long.
Right, she has this fucking
trail. She's inevitably become such a partisan figure. Beyond whatever she could do, she can't do anything to change that.
She is the same problem that a senator has. And that's why it's really hard for a senator who's been in office for a really long time to win this, because they have this whole history you know, 20-year history of how they voted, and you can always say, well, they did this 20 years ago, and now they're doing that. It's like, well, my 20 years ago, I was five, and it was like drinking juice boxes. So, I mean, 20 years, well, I don't even
My
understand
feet are
it.
Buzzing right now, and I don't know what that is.
Your feet are buzzing.
My feet are hot,
yeah,
for sure.
I don't remember anything that's happened in the past 20 minutes.
I know. Honestly, okay. my window is like 5 minutes on either side, and that's maybe it.
So the next topic that I want to move on to is I like Hillary a lot. I like Bernie a lot. I hope that people who are for one or the other candidate still like the other and are ready to support that candidate in the general election. But lately, in the past couple of weeks, I feel like the attacks have kind of amped up. And I wanted to ask everybody, what attack by Hillary on Bernie is bothering you, and what attack by Bernie on Hillary is bothering you? Because it feels like grandparents fighting, and I'm like, let's just get along. Let's just all have
grandparents fighting.
Someone's going to win, and then that person gets to be president. But it's driving me crazy, some of their attacks, and I think some are disingenuous.
Wait, why? Did your grandparents fight a lot in front of you?
No, I just mean, like, these are...
Charlie's dad?
Because my parents... Yeah, what's...
Charlie's dad, can we check in with you on this? This is like a great time for you to check in.
Because my grandparents were always cool. My parents threw dishes at each other, but my grandparents
but, like,
were always
fun. Well, let's say parents fought.
If grandparents can't save their fight for when a grandchild's not there, they're fucked up.
Okay. You're only seeing them twice
maybe
a year.
Maybe I changed my metaphor to grandparents because my parents are in the room, but you know what You know what I mean?
Good point.
Two people that you both love and you don't want them to fight with each other. I'll give my example first, which is, and I am leaning Hillary, but her attacks on Sanders on healthcare have been driving me fucking crazy this past week. I think it's very disingenuous of her to claim that Bernie wants to throw out healthcare in order to get single payer. We've worked so hard for Obamacare, and what Bernie wants to do is blow it all up, and people who need healthcare don't want that. And there's no way that Bernie is going to get rid of the current system in order to institute single payer. And I think it's disingenuous that she's doing that.
Yeah, and I think most independent observers completely agree that's disingenuous. I think there's a good version of that, which I wish she would distill it to, which is that we have all of these like hard-fought gains that we've made in healthcare, like scrapping the system completely, going back to square one is not a good strategy. That would be the good version of that. But the bad version of that, I totally agree, is saying that Sanders isn't committed to universal healthcare, which is something that he's been committed to for
his
30
whole life.
Years. Yeah. So I totally agree with that. I think an important thing to remember, like a thing that bothers me, I do think it's really good that they have a debate over these things and substantively.
Over the issues, but not little gotcha things like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I think they should have a debate over the issues. I think that's great for the Democratic Party and for people who care about those issues. But I think like it's really I don't remember what I was going to say because
I'm very drunk.
What was I saying? What is something about
this is the height of two beers.
This is what I wanted. Hey, everyone, shut the fuck up! I remember what I wanted to say.
Guys, Sal is so smart.
Don't.
You should totally like Photoshop Sal and put it on above that.
Yeah, well, what would I look like if
Donald
I were hot?
No, you'd have a little goatee.
As an ugly Donald Trump.
I legitimately remember
what I was going to say, which was, I do think an interesting thing just to remember, I personally think neither of them is going to get their legislative agenda passed. Neither of them, the political climate we live in now, neither of them is going to get the most ambitious things that they promise done.
Correct.
So it's it's more about how people are going to prosecute the powers
so
of the
office of the presidency.
So you're saying
nobody can get anything done and we should just give up hope and go fucking just give up.
But
give up, man.
Everything. But here's the thing.
Just give up, guys.
This is so indicative. Like we're like, well, actually, Bernie and Hillary, they're after each other. They've done nothing but apologize and honor
each
other.
They're the nicest people. When they're nice to each other.
When everyone on the Republican side is like, your fucking face is wrong.
Yes.
Literally, Jeb Bush and Trump had a fight in one debate over Trump insulting Jeb's wife. Okay. That is something that two drunk guys at a bar fight about.
Yeah.
all right?
And then Chris Christie today was like, Marco Rubio is a boy.
Yeah, the bubble boy.
Tiny
yeah.
bubble boy.
He called, if anyone didn't see this
school,
clip,
bubble boy.
He called him a bubble boy.
Wait, boy
like
in
12
the bubble.
Times
boy
in the span of 20. Boy,
he
no, bubble boy
means.
And boy in a bubble. He literally
he
said his quote was like, I hope the boy in the bubble gets out of his bubble boy because the boy in the bubble is such a bubble boy.
In other
yeah, he was
that's
rapping.
What he said.
He was freestyling. He was freestyling.
Yeah, he was freestyling. I just blacked out when I said that, by the way.
This that was not amazing. Hot Christie.
I can't believe we're still talking about
it. That was legit.
I freestyled a Christie comment.
Nailed it.
No, I agree there. Being very civil, Bernie doesn't run attack ads. I hope it doesn't get worse, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
No,
they have to go
Bernie
after each other starting like this week.
Look. I think Bernie is great. I've gone to Bernie rallies, and I like Bernie. But 29-year-old white dudes with floppy hair on Facebook need to pipe down a little bit. About Bernie Sanders,
you know, because
it's driving me nuts, man.
It is really when I realized that I was getting old. Charlie and I had this conversation earlier, and I was like, and he was like, "It's just like, come on, man, I can't get behind your, you know, flannel shirts and your Occupy Wall Street." I was like, "We're old. We're officially old people. We're like, oh, those guys were like tent, like camping
no,
out in tents and parks."
Alex is talking
like,
about.
Oh my God, it's so dirty down there in that
like,
Zuccotti
can't
park.
Do it. I just can't camp anymore. I just can't live like that. And then I was like, I'm an old
wait.
Person.
Here's my legitimate question about the 25. Bernie Bros. Okay,
hashtag Bernie Bros.
Hashtag Bernie Bros. All right. I'm genuinely curious. Is there evidence that they are any worse than the worst sort of marginal aspects of any online community that will troll you
because
disagree with their opinion?
No, they're not worse. And also, I feel like the hashtag Bernie Bros is manufactured by Hillary. I feel like
that's a real hashtag?
Oh, yeah.
You think?
For sure.
Bernie Bros.
Well,
Bernie Bros,
the sort of Bernie Bros are like a term given to the like internet troll dudes who say, you know, Hillary
they're running
is
wild
like,
on Reddit right
it
now.
Reminds me of, it reminds me of Ron Paul supporters a little bit, almost. Like Ron Paul.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Every
like
YouTube
any,
video in 2008 had Ron Paul 2008
but,
as a comment. Yeah.
But my legitimate question is any intense internet community has those people, right? Now, I'm curious, like, is there more? Is there evidence to show that there's more? No. It's worse in the Bernie community?
It's too close to home. We're white guys with sometimes floppy hair.
I wear a lot of flannel. I can't believe my
exactly.
wife just made fun of
there's
flannel.
There's a lot of flannel
that's
out there.
That's half of my closet.
You're wearing one almost right now.
Yeah.
It's not
so
flannel,
I'm
but
saying,
I do all
okay,
of this
first of all, your wife
all
so far has said that like boring is hot and flannel sucks. So.
Watch
what?
Out.
What?
I'm wearing a sweater from the store that also sells surfboards. So, yeah.
Okay, I want to change gears a little bit and talk about Ben Carson because there was some amazing, amazing Ben Carson news in the last 24 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Ben Carson, he pieced out of Iowa a little bit early. Now, there was a snowstorm on the way, but he didn't go to New Hampshire. Instead, he went back to Florida where he's from to get fresh clothes.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not making
that
up.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. That literally, his campaign people said he's been campaigning for 17 days. He needs to go to Florida to get fresh clothes. He will be back on the trail in a few days.
The truth is, he was covered in brain blood.
The amazing thing about the Ben Carson thing is that was their statement correcting the rumors that were out there about
what
him.
What was the rumor?
Like, he had left Iowa, and there were rumors that he was suspending his campaign. He was dropping out because he had left Iowa, was going back to Florida. And the rumors, which the Ted Cruz campaign was apparently helping to spread, were that Ben Carson had left the race and that his supporters should choose someone else. And his campaign put out an official statement to correct the record and make everyone feel better about Ben Carson's campaign by saying he left Iowa before the voting in the nation's first caucus was done because he needs to go back to Florida to get fresh clothes.
He could have gone to a store. You could have gone to a laundromat.
You could have gone to PacSun.
I'm from Iowa.
There are no stores in Iowa. There's not a single store.
Most hotels that a presidential candidate would stay in offer laundry services.
Here's to be fair, I think Carson is another person that is not actually a candidate. He was like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, he's like
a question. How much would it take for you guys to give up? Like, if you were a president, because I see these Republican candidates, and I know that like the longer you campaign, the more money you get at your appearances to talk on like show the political shows and shit like that, but like what would you guys have to come up against to like stop running for president after you've already been like yes I'm running like
Well, that's what I'm curious about with like, Trump, because Trump didn't tweet for like 14 hours after
that was
he lost,
a scary was time like, for all scary. Of us.
It was very funny to see the speculation online. Like, why isn't he tweeting? What's going on?
That was like the 2002 blackout. Like, we were all like, what is happening?
Yeah. But honestly, for someone who is, his whole thing is like, I don't lose. And he's like, he can't deny
a loss.
He's
literally a loser now.
He is. Like, no, the best thing. He must have been in a free fall. Like, he must have been like, just like pulling his hair all the way out to its end and just like, I don't know what to do now. Look, what's he going to say?
Tonight, he said, they were asking about it, and right before I came here, I saw it on CNN. He was saying he was giving press conference, and I asked him, you know, about a second place, which is like, second place is great, so good. He was like, I feel like the polls created a false expectation. This is the guy who reads the poll results at every rally he gives. His entire campaign is based on his own poll results.
Most of his policy proposals are poll results.
Donald Trump's campaign is a Ponzi scheme. It's just poll results, and then the better the poll results are, the more people support him, and then the more people support him, the better his poll results are, and then the better the poll results are, and then at some point,
he's a genius. Wait,
is there more beer?
You're cut off.
I want to dance. I want to dance so bad. I want to just kind of go dancing. Oh my
God, you just need to dance.
Guys, I would love to go dancing with all of you. You guys are my, right now, at this time in my
Glenn
life, you're my best friends.
Simultaneously wants to dance so bad, and I saw her fall asleep for a second at the same time.
I don't know if our panel is lightweights this week, or if we did have a little more alcohol in the
beer. Are we drunker than other people?
I haven't drank in a while.
To be
in
fair,
a few
our
weeks.
Last show was a 4.5% beer, and this was a 5.2%.
And to be fair, we're coming off sober January here.
And I also want to reiterate, a lot of people might hear this and go like, oh, a 5% beer, that's no big deal. But if you drink two in 4 minutes, it is
a big deal, and then you add the third. Quit running the numbers.
So. All right. You're like Iowa poll.
I am Steve Kornacki right now running the beer numbers.
It's you're the kind like, of drunk where...
Should have said Nate Silver. That's a more common reference.
No, but I like
Steve Kornacki is kind of a nerdy MSNBC reference. Yeah. Right, Sal?
Yeah.
Dig.
Anyway,
I'm such a fucking nerd. I suck.
I think Ben Carson is hilarious.
You know just like I do who Steve Kornacki is.
Ben Carson is like a cat who's been taking a long nap in the sun for like several months.
But did you know Ben Carson isn't Stuck on You, the Farrelly Brothers movie?
No.
He's in that movie.
Yes, I heard. Yeah. Yes,
he's
right.
In the Look, Go Home Tonight
he's
and read Stuck on You. Yeah.
That's the
conjoined twins. He plays the doctor that separates the conjoined twins and Stuck on You.
Guys.
Wait, so the Farrelly Brothers were like, we got to get a doctor. Let's get an actual brain surgeon.
Let's get the real guy who split the people's heads apart. And he's in the movie.
I can't imagine.
You learned something.
I
didn't know that already.
I mean,
great casting.
I agree.
I'm just overwhelmed with sadness about who could be president.
Yeah. Ben Carson's not going to be president.
They're all just people, right? Like they're fucking dads, and it's like a bunch of uncles running for president. You know what I mean?
So here's my question on that.
Sadder thing is
they all like
uncles.
Take dumps,
like
and they all like fucking.
I feel like I find
they all take dumps.
Yes,
they
all take dumps. They're all like,
your
oh, yes, I'm in a suit.
Dumps.
You take dumps.
All right, here's my question on all
I don't think
these
Ted
guys.
Cruz takes dumps. I think they're all inside himself.
No, he is full of dumps.
They hold dumps.
He is a tomato. That's what his skin, that's what his human skin is full of. It's full of dumps.
Someone else's skin. He wrapped
like a
skin
little
over
alien,
dumps. Yeah.
Like Men in Black style, like in him, and then the rest of him is full of dumps.
Guy's a fucking... Donald Trump is a sentient YouTube comment chain. That dude's a fucking sentient dump. That's what he is.
Yo, but
that
honestly,
is still the funniest
sorry.
Thing.
So let me ask this one
heard.
Question. Who? So of all of these human dumps, who are you most afraid of winning the nomination? Like, if the Republicans were smart, who do you think is the most dangerous, the candidate most likely to actually win the general election?
A Voltron of all of them.
Oh, wow.
Which could happen. I mean,
easily
we are
happen.
In the computer age. Yeah. So who
I think it's Marco. Does anybody disagree that Marco's their best candidate?
But, you know,
100%.
I think the best hybrid comment of either... A, who do you think can win? But B, who are you most scared of to be president of the United States?
Well, I think the answer is...
That's a joke.
This is the second show in a row where someone has gone A.C. Slater style mid-game.
Really?
It may be the beer that does that.
You just need to
Alex
leave.
Alex Gradellis has turned his chair around.
You know.
So this is a twofold question. A, who are you most think? Who do you think is most likely to win? And you're scared to run against? And also, who would you be most terrified to have in office? Like, seriously. For me, Ben Carson is the most terrifying president I've ever seen in my life.
But he's easily... you could hold a cupcake in front of him and
Oh yeah, that's true.
Sure.
I think Marco Rubio is easily he can win and he is as scary as the other ones.
Yeah.
Right.
That's probably the scariest because he's
his policies are just as fucked up. He just gets by because he looks like he's going for his Weeblos badges. and he's like, I'm nice, but he's like just as much a nightmare. And he can I think he can beat easily beat Hillary and Bernie.
I actually,
I do think so. In a general election, I think so.
I don't. Oh man. Oh Jesus.
All right. So walk it back. Walk it back. Let's hear it.
Okay. Fuck. I think Marco Rubio is an overrated general election candidate. I think for a couple of reasons. I think his policy positions are just as Jesus Christ.
Everyone give me fucking 10 minutes to get this thought out. Okay, all right. He's just as far right crazy.
He's just
as
regressive as Ted Cruz and Donald Trump are. In fact, Donald Trump's more reasonable than Marco Rubio's in some ways. But put that all aside. I think the scariest general election candidate is John Kasich
because he could actually win.
Because John Kasich could actually win.
Yeah, but he will never get there.
Is he damaging those? The other
one. He's not going to get.
Like if he was,
Rubio can be there.
There's an outside shot for John Kasich. I don't think he's going to win the nomination either. But there's
no that New York Times.
I grew up in Ohio.
Thing was bad for him.
Everyone in Ohio hates him.
Wait, what'd you say, Cody?
He's a very polarized. True story. Yeah.
True story. Do people in Ohio hate him?
So I sort of fibbed. I was born in Iowa. My whole family is from Iowa, but I grew up in Ohio. Everyone in Ohio hates him.
Wow.
But how'd he become governor?
They don't like him. It's very polarizing.
People do that. They vote for people they don't like.
Yeah. I mean,
they vote for people who are mean to them.
He took the
people love being yelled at.
Yeah. I know.
It's a human condition.
Here's the other side of the question, which is what candidate would you be able to stomach as president the most easily, and I would say Kasich.
Yeah, yeah. I would
probably just
out of all of them. Or
Rand
you know
Paul.
What? Rand Paul's interesting
Rand.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Rand's a good point.
Yep.
He's very admirably committed to the purity of his ideological beliefs.
And
I
like
can't
40% of the
words.
Things.
Just give me a break.
40% of what he likes, I like too.
But like he, for example, he's the only candidate on stage who stands against further intervention in the Middle East, for example. That's right. Admirable, despite the fact that Republican base voters clearly want somebody just to project strength and to say something along the lines of, we're going to carpet bomb ISIS wherever they are, which is a meaningless statement, but which sounds good. And Rand Paul is the only one on the stage who's willing to say, like, that's a bad idea. Like, when Chris Christie says, when I'm president, we're going to shoot down planes over the no-fly zone in Syria, which doesn't exist yet, but which I will institute, and that will start... Rand Paul's the only one on stage who says, that will start a war with Russia. Do you want World War III with Russia?
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's an admirable thing, and that's why I like Rand Paul. There are things that I fervently disagree with, positions that he has, but like that's admirable.
Yeah, it is, but I just... Right, but I just don't think...
That was
actually Rand Paul. He left New Hampshire. Gave up New Hampshire.
Guys, we have Chuck Todd, Rand Paul, and a mosquito with
a sentient mosquito.
It's a real fucking crazy audience tonight.
Yeah,
is anybody on the stage voting for Bernie Sanders for sure in the primary?
I am.
Yeah,
I'm voting for Bernie. Yeah. He's the. No. I know. I think Hillary is not going to. She's not a good candidate.
She's a woman.
No, I think she is a woman and she's a great woman. But I just don't. She's just not a good candidate.
Is a woman.
She's
You're
not
concerned.
Good
she's
at.
A woman.
Good she, her speeches aren't good. She's not good at getting people excited. Bernie, his plans, his ideologies are good. And he's a little bit. I believe him more.
If she gets the nomination, you'll vote for her.
Of course.
Okay.
What are you good. Crazy?
Let's end on that, everybody.
You floppy haired 29-year-old.
You right, floppy let's skirt.
Let's end on everybody agreeing that no matter what happens, we're going to vote for either Hillary or Bernie in
or
the fall.
Or Trust Ted.
Or we're going to vote for a man that's made up of dumps.
Right? Yeah.
Imagine
here he goes. Here
that
he
makes
goes.
Me think. Imagine what all of the candidates smell like.
Oh, yeah.
And awful.
Let's just go off on that.
Bernie awful. Smells like Old Spice. Right?
Yeah. All
original. Original.
You know what? I use Old Spice. I like Old Spice. I'd vote for Old Spice.
You son are no Old Spice.
What?
You sir are no.
Yeah, you
Old Spice.
Sir.
I know Old Spice.
Know Old
they don't have fresh clothes.
You show is sponsored by Old Spice.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank Ben Carson for heading down to Florida to get fresh clothes. Let's give it up for our panel, Sal Gentile.
Ryan Bluzan,
Alex Gordelis,
and Justin Tyler.
Our next show is next month in March. It's at the end of the month. It's please a long way away from now. It's March 29th at the end of the month, so
friends.
Come back here.
There's going to be so much shit that's going to explode in the election by then.
Fuck yeah.
And we're going to have a lot to talk about. So thank
I'll
you
be fascinated
so much.
To listen to the recording of this and remember what I said during it.
Everybody come join us for a fourth beer in the bar. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night.